And we are back. You are listening to Davin's End. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. I guess we'll start with some School of Fools. That's what we'll do. Got two School of Fools stories this week, just because I thought they kind of tied into each other. I think the theme, if I had to come up with a theme for them, would be an old Joe Curry quote that he used to do. I don't know where he got it from, but I think the theme would be Sonny No Touch. I think that
Sonny No Touch.
Yes. I think that would be my message for that. But we will do the first story right now. And this has to do with Native Americans. Norma LeRoy tries to understand why his... Oh, I didn't play the thing. Never mind. Ugh. As I was saying, Norma LeRoy tries to understand why a school secretary cut her two girls' hair without her consent in the spring of 2020. The secretary was checking for lice, LeRoy was told. Lice, the mother said, they never found. LeRoy feels like few in this remote region of Nebraska's Cherry County understand what they took. It's why the 36-year-old Rosebud Sue has to turn away from her kids toward the trees to shield them from her tears. To her people, hair is sacred. Cutting it outside Lakota tradition carries consequence. Is happiness, the goodness, the wellness of life, that takes all that away, LeRoy said. And so that's the reason why we as Native Americans look at our hair strongly, because it comes from the spirit world and it was given to us. In Kilgore, population 79, really, at 79, just fucking wipe it off the earth. Enough. You know, you don't need to be a town at 79. There's Thanksgiving services that have more people at the fucking table than that town. But anyway, I digress.
Come on.
You know what's funny? What we can start discussing this story is going to be respect, this, that, and the other day. But fuck the town, you have 79.
Seven, Joe, if you can't crack triple digits, I'm not respecting you as a town.
I understand that the town has almost enough people to do a late show, but still, you know.
I know Puerto Rican families that have more people in a studio apartment than that.
It is really small.
Yes.
Everybody knows everybody's business.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There is no business. There's 79 people. There's no business. In Kilgore, population 79, less than 4 miles from South Dakota's Rosebud Indian Reservation, haircutting dredges up dark history. Stories of boarding schools where they sheared the jet-black hair of Native Americans to make them look more like white people, like those boarding school kids. LeRoy and her wife, Alice Johnson, say their girls ages 12 and 7 also lost something, and immediately before and after the haircutting, three of their grandmothers died. Holy shit. Wakuza... It invited bad luck, LeRoy says. You don't get lice if you have clean hair, LeRoy said, the secretary told her. Other residents say the secretary's good heart shouldn't be ignored. George Johnson, a retired rancher in Cody, 15 miles from Kilgore, served on the school board decades ago when it hired the secretary. Without a principal, the secretary led the school, Johnson said. Really? Really? The secretary's running shit? Again, if you can't have a principal, get out of school! All right. Without a principal, the secretary led the school, Johnson said. And this is why liberals fly over states. You can't have enough for us to stop by. That's why. when you form large people, we'll stop by and say howdy do. Until then, you can have Sarah Palin. All right. I'm saying the shit they won't tell you. Without a principal... Without a principal, the secretary led the school, Johnson said, caring for his kids and many others. She advocated for children whose families couldn't afford backpacks, coats, or boots. Occasionally, the school has trimmed hair to stop the spread of lice, Johnson said. What are these kids doing, rolling around in bugs? While he doesn't know what happened in this case, Johnson said whatever happened, there was a reason. She did not do this out of animosity, punishment, or anything else, Johnson said. She did it to help the children and keep the school safe. She's not that type of person, I guarantee you. On May 17th, the two mothers filed a lawsuit in federal court in Lincoln against the Cody-Gilgore Unified Schools District. The mothers alleged their First Amendment rights were violated. Calls, emails, text messages, and Facebook messages sent to the secretary, school superintendent, former superintendent, all six school board members went either unanswered or the person declined comment. May I suggest smoke signal? Anyway, the school's lawyer, Chuck Wilbrand of Knudsen Law Firm in Lincoln, also declined to comment. Nobody wants to say shit. like, shh, maybe they won't know we're here. Dummy up.
Yeah, no, it's like,
yeah.
Do you really want to get on record about this? No.
Well, if I'm the lawyer, it's my job to.
Yeah. Lawyer should.
Yeah, well. On July 15th, the school and its attorney filed a motion to dismiss the case. School officials were unaware haircutting was culturally insensitive, the motion reads, and the school's former superintendent agreed not to cut the children's hair in the future. Oh, it's mighty white of you, sir. That did little to appease Leroy and Johnson, who were two angry lesbians. No, I said that. That's not the story. What? What? I say terrible things. Who said the school violated their family's culture in the same manner that Native culture has long been violated. I just want people to understand that you cannot touch another person's child, John said. She's got a point. Every religion has beliefs. Every culture has beliefs, and that we have rules that we live by, and I want people to know that. To understand the importance of hair to the Lakota, you need to know about the Star Woman. Not to be confused with Star Man, who is Paul Stanley and the band Kiss. Different people. Oh, and although Paul Stanley, also full of hair. Long ago...
Yeah, this, everywhere.
Long ago, the story goes... You know, if he was Star Man and he's Jewish, why wasn't he Star of David Man? Anyway, I digress. Long ago... they're saving words with the band name Kiss. You can make up for it in the characters.
Star of David Child.
Long ago, the story goes, a woman sat in the Big Dipper, lonely. She grew hair long enough to reach Earth. When she got here, she cut it. She cut it because she needed to come down here to build a life, Leroy said. And for her to build that life, she used her hair. And so this is why we say there are strict restrictions on women with long hair, because their spirit lives within their hair. And once you cut that, part of their spirit's gone. Now, before you say that sounds, you know, crazy, remember, your guy died and came back 3 days later from a cave. So everybody's got their shit, all right?
All religions have some cray-cray.
Exactly.
Well, there's a bunch of stories. It's like when people goof on, what's that thing that John Travolta is in?
Scientologist.
Yeah, Scientologist. Like, that stuff's crazy. Well, a lot of religions, that's nuts.
Sure.
I'm wondering how, like, the Indians feel. Like, I'm just curious, because I wonder how the Indians feel about lesbians, you know? I wonder if there's any, like, you know.
They're okay with that. No, they're okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Chief Licking Pussy said it was fine.
Yeah. They don't have, like, a, you know, that there's only women and only men. They believe that there are other genders.
Do they?
Yeah.
Look at Pip. Pip, you know, this is good to have such a wealth of knowledge like you at our disposal. You know, we don't know if you're right or not, but it sounds very impressive. Leroy grew up on these stories. She learned the Lakota language, ceremonies, and traditions from her grandmother on the Rosebud Reservation, where she lived most of her life. Leroy and Johnson met on Facebook in 2015 and married a year later. See, you can meet people on Facebook. Each had daughters from previous marriages, and after marrying, had one more. They're raising their four children with Lakota traditions, but they're also raising them in a small, mostly white Nebraska town, which wasn't a problem until March 2nd, 2020. I was like, wait, who cut your hair? Johnson said when her 10-year-old daughter told her about the incident. The girls told their mother the school secretary did it. When they called the superintendent, he said it was a head lice check. The school student handbook doesn't outline how lice checks are performed. Usually you call for them. Hey, Lacey, Lacey, Lacey. Hey, Lacey, Lacey. That's the preferred method, but they didn't consult me.
This is how you perform a lice check, with a pencil on the scalp. You do not have any cutting implements on this whatsoever. No.
All right, well.
Is that your lice pencil?
Yes, it is. I checked during the show.
Yeah, for pubic lice. That's what she does on breaks. Anyway, in its motion to dismiss.
Wait a second.
That's why she likes when we play long songs.
Well, that's the deadliest catch.
Well, Joe, the lice call it deadliest snatch.
Mike, they would like to talk to you.
Well, he did host Dirtiest Job, so makes sense.
That would be.
I lost a friend over Mike Rowe. Remember Pat, who used to listen to our show?
Yeah.
She used to love Mike Rowe. I don't know why. Like, he was some type of, like, genius or something. But he's got his views. And I pretty much said, well, that's a bunch of horse shit right there. And from there, somebody who was friends with me blocked me. It's like, really? You're gonna get all into Mike Rowe? That's the hill you're going to die on? Okay. Whatever.
Oh, my God.
There's one more shut-in I won't be entertaining. Anyway, in its motion to dismiss... The school district says while haircutting is not written policy, the school district would sometimes cut a single strand of hair that contained the louse and tape it to a piece of paper to show the family. The school district said it made steps to remedy the situation, agreeing on March 13 not to cut the children's hair again. It returned one strand to the family to burn in accordance with Lakota beliefs. Where's the one with the fucking louse on it, stupid? After the haircutting, the two mothers drove to the Rosebud Reservation. They went to see Wacy, his holy horse. Put that on a uniform jersey. A spiritual leader, reservation police officer, and Leroy's cousin who performed rituals to protect the children's spirits. I felt hurt, betrayal, anger, and confusion, says Leela Kills. Leela Kills in sight. Well, it'd be nasty if she did it behind your back. The spiritual leader's mother. These fucking names, you gotta give it to them. You gotta give it to them. The black people are like, we're not doing enough. All right. The spiritual leader's mother. I'm offending everybody tonight. I don't give a shit. Anyway, spiritual leader's mother who bathed the children with a sponge during the rituals. We're in a new era, and I just thought everyone knew about Native people and how we do things. No! No, we don't! We don't know! Maybe we should know. You might have a point, but we don't know.
Well, in the case of that, the reservation is 4 miles away from the town.
Yes.
You mean in all these years, they don't have an idea of traditions?
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's pretty sad if that's your, defense.
That is their defense. They acted like they didn't do anything wrong. As the story circulated on social media, raw emotion surfaced. Having the 7th, 8th, 10th generation having to go through it again. I mean, it's just a big eye-opener because it's being relived, Leroy said. On March 13th, 1819, the United States signed the Civilization Fund Act that ushered in an era when boarding schools nationwide, including in Nebraska, separated Native children from their families. All the Indian there is in the race should be dead. Kill the Indian in him and save the man. Captain Richard H. Pratt, who founded the Carlisle Indian Industrial School, famously said in 1892. No, no, I believe infamously said. Not famously, infamously said.
Yeah.
Take his statue down.
Yeah.
I hope they have. In 1884, Christian missionaries came to South Dakota's Yankton Reservation and took 8-year-old... Zitkala Sa from her mother. I remember being dragged out, though I resisted by kicking and scratching wildly, Zitkala Sa wrote in 1900 of her hair cutting. In spite of myself, I was carried downstairs and tied fast in a chair. I cried aloud, shaking my head all the while until I felt the cold blades of the scissors against my neck and heard them gnaw off one of my thick braids. Then I lost my spirit. Now I was only one of many little animals driven by a herder. Again, like, I know it's like over 100 years ago. What world is that okay to just grab kids?
It's perfectly fine. He wanted her to learn Christ's love.
That's how you show it.
What better way than tying her down and cutting her hair?
Crusade?
Wow.
Yeah, you'll enjoy this love. Now let me strap you to a chair so you can enjoy it fully.
You know, that sounds like some of my dates in college. Anyway, on March 9th, Johnson Leroy... What? No? Okay. On March 9th, there's no witnesses. There's no lice. On March 9th, Johnson Leroy and a procession of grandma. Oh, we got some shit to bitch about. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
I know
them. We can hear them walkers clicking from miles away. Yep.
I got to tell you this. Even if I agree with their cause, which, spoiler alert, I do. If I'm driving behind that procession of grandmothers, I'm going to be fucking pissed. I don't got time for that. I don't care.
There's got to be a cop to wave you over. I mean, that can't be moving out. I think the 1800s is when they started. They're just getting into town now.
They were babies.
They all left when they were 18.
let's see. On March 9th, a procession of grandmothers drove to Cody Kilgore United Schools Board of Education meeting to tell those stories. Board members listened as the women read a letter and asked for cultural sensitivity training, said the mothers. When they finished, Adam Naslin, school board president, thanked them for sharing, according to meeting minutes. The mothers and the ACLU said the school has since declined to implement cultural sensitivity training. In its motion to dismiss, the school district says it never discriminated, took quick action to prevent future hair cuttings, and argued no further training is needed. As for the fact it brings up memories of boarding schools, the motion reads, this could not be further from the truth. Well, deny your memories, stupid. How do you know?
How do you know?
To the mothers and Lakota leaders, the haircutting incident serves as a painful reminder of past and present repression. They hope the civil case can serve as a voice for generations of Lakota children who have suffered in silence. That little girl didn't have someone to speak up for her and say, don't cut my child's hair, Johnson said. Now times have changed, and we're all a bunch of fucking Karens running with Karen. So hear us roar. All right, so that was that. Listen, I agree. This is terrible. I don't understand why they think it's okay to touch children. Now, I don't think this secretary seems to have a good track record, a good history, so I don't necessarily think she needs to be fired. But I think they should implement the cultural sensitivity training. You know, let's make sure this doesn't happen, because as Joe pointed out, there's a reservation 4 miles away. Yeah, this incident might come up again.
You want to know something? I don't... She seems like a nice woman that did something stupid. Basically, I understand about cultural sensitivity and all this. I get it. But I don't even think it's the issue more than... You cut my kid's hair. You didn't even bother to call me. You don't touch my kid. If there's a problem with lice, you call me. I take my kid out of school. I either take care of it myself. You don't want her to come back till we resolve the situation, it's fine. You don't take my kid and cut her hair and then send her home. You don't touch my kid.
Yeah.
Because here's where it goes beyond this. Yeah, cultural sensitivity. Yes, I get it. However, it's a precedent that other schools should have in all around the country, where you just can't go up and do something. You call me and you let me know what's going on. Either I say okay or I pull my kid out of school. End of story.
Yeah, the only time I really want you touching my kid is if my kid is in mortal danger and you're saving my kid. If the kid has lice, we used to get sent to the nurse. Not that I had. The nurse would do lice checks. If you suspect there's an issue, send him to the nurse. As Joe said, you call us up. We pick up our kid. End of the fucking story. You don't play scalpel. That's not what we do here.
And sometimes people don't use common sense and think they're doing something well-meaning when they're absolutely doing something stupid. I think that was the case of this woman. I'm sure she was a nice woman, but she did something stupid. And obviously, it triggered all these things in the culture of these women that had the kids, you know. So yeah, it's a stupid story. It's not a stupid story, but the school did not use common sense. The woman did not use common sense. It was a stupid thing to do when she overstepped her bounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all agree. So don't fire the woman, but implement some cultural sensitivity so this never happens again, and make a policy. As Joe said, don't touch the kids.
Don't fire the woman, but for Christ's sake, put a statement out. We made a mistake. And then do the cultural sensitivity. We overstepped our bounds. She'll be reprimanded. We're not going to fuck. Say something. Don't just sit there and don't say anything.
Right.
You know, I mean, you got to say something.
Really? It sounds like, I mean, if the reservation is like 4 miles away and these two people out in the wilderness, these two groups of small groups of people haven't like interacted, they don't know anything about each other, that's
what I'm saying.
Pretty
that's
pathetic.
Well, they don't, you know, the cultural, but I get it, but you don't know this. The school is, well, obviously the kids from this reservation have been coming to this school for years. It's 4 miles away. You don't know this.
You don't know this. You don't know not to touch kids.
That's not even the point. I think the most foremost thing is you cut my kid's hair and you didn't even call me to tell me what's going on. I mean, that foremost is the most upsetting thing out of this whole story.
Agreed.
It's very upsetting. And also, just because you don't know that it was a cultural thing, then once you found out, apologize.
Yes.
And say, you know what, we'll train our staff. We'll do better. Don't just not say anything and hope it'll go under the rug. You know,
something that you know, obviously that would go into whatever statement or whatever speech you're going to give. But say something. Don't sit there and go, "Well, well, no, we really have nothing to say. No, you screwed up. The woman made a stupid mistake. You know, it exacerbated the thing where it goes into their culture. You have to say something. She's got to say something.
All right, let's move on. Another story in this in this line. This involves in New Jersey, a teacher removed a student's hijab. Here is the story.
Outrage tonight in Maplewood, New Jersey. A Muslim mother says her daughter's second grade teacher pulled the 7-year-old's hijab off her head in the middle of class. News 4's Chris Glorioso is live outside that elementary school in Maplewood, where calls there are growing for that teacher to be fired, Chris.
Well, the mother of this second grader says multiple kids in the class recount the same story, essentially that this teacher told the 7-year-old her hair was beautiful and she should not be covering it up with this traditional headscarf. But then the mother says things went even further when the teacher allegedly put her hands on the child and physically removed the hijab.
She walked up to her and said, "You can't wear this in here." And the man was like, "No, that's my hijab, it's my hijab." And she said she pulled it back.
Zainab Wyatt says both of her daughters have worn hijabs since infancy. The traditional Muslim headscarf is part of their religious and cultural identity. So when 7-year-old Sumaya Wyatt said her teacher pulled the sacred garment off of her head, her mother was outraged.
They have to remove her from this school. They have to move her from this district. She needs to be fired. She needs to be reprimanded. She needs to go to counseling. My daughter has to go to counseling.
Wyatt says Tamar Herman, a second grade teacher at Maplewood's Boyden Elementary School, is the educator who pulled back her daughter's headscarf. The accusation leading hundreds to sign this online petition demanding Herman be fired. A statement from South Orange Maplewood Schools says the district takes matters of discrimination extremely seriously, but any decision or outcome related to this will be reserved for after the completion of an investigation. No one answered when we knocked on Tamar Herman's door, the teacher's neighbors urging people to withhold judgment till more facts are known.
She's always been reasonable, kind. I noticed that she's a teacher. She likes kids.
The uproar over what happened to Sumaya Wyatt and her hijab is just the latest accusation of discrimination in South Orange Maplewood schools. In the summer of 2020, the district settled a lawsuit claiming it effectively segregated students based on race.
It's clear that even in a community like Maplewood, you know, which has a Mayberry type of story behind it, there are some things that are very strange lurking behind the scenes.
As part of the remedy to settle that segregation lawsuit, South Orange Maplewood Schools agreed to try and recruit and hire more people of color to serve as teachers. And the Wyatt family says if more people of color were teaching at this school, they believe there would have been a bigger emphasis on cultural sensitivity and maybe something like this wouldn't have happened. As you saw, we did reach out to the accused teacher herself. We also reached out to the teachers' union. We haven't heard back yet. For now, reporting live in Maplewood, Chris Glorioso, News 4.
The girl's mother added, "Imagine being a child and stripped of your clothing in front of your classmates. Imagine the humiliation and trauma this experience has caused her. This is abuse. Schools should be a haven for all of our kids to feel safe, welcome, and protected no matter their faith. We cannot move toward a post-racial America until we weed out the racism and bigotry that still exists in all layers of our society. By protecting Muslim girls who wear hijab, we are protecting the rights of all of us to have a choice in the way we dress." Now, this was Pip's blog. Before we get Pip's take, I did a poll on this, and the poll question was, a second grade teacher is accused of pulling off the religious head covering called a hijab of a second grade girl in class. If true, should she be fired? Well, Pip, what do you think? Do you think more people said yes or more people said no?
I think more people said no.
What do you think, Joe?
She should be reprimanded.
No, not what you think. Well, not what you think. What you think the poll was?
Oh, I'm sorry. The poll probably said she was wrong.
You think the poll says she should be fired?
I would say no.
44.4 said yes. 55.6 said no. All right, what do you got, Pip?
Well, I mean, this is another thing where as Joe said earlier, don't be touching our kids. Don't touch the kids. I was really thinking, what was this woman thinking? And now, in no case does it make it better for the child, because this is a religious belief that they have, that if I understand it, that you're covering your head because you're showing respect to God, and pulling that off is really an egregious offense. It's just like, you know, there are a lot of religions that people cover their head, you know, as you know, respect to God. You know, that you've yarmulkes, you know, Amish women wear little bonnets. I don't know what they're called.
I think they're called bonnets.
Are they called bonnets? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, there are a lot of religions where they cover their head. You have no right under any circumstances to remove any of those things. And I wonder, what could she possibly have been thinking? I mean, to do such a thing, and then to make a ridiculous comment like, oh, you have pretty hair. So, beside the point. I just ripped off your shirt. Oh, what lovely breasts. I don't care what you think of them. They shouldn't be out. You know?
Wait, hold on. Hold on. Maybe they should be.
not for these young children, no.
No, not for second graders, but, you know, in my scenario, that seems perfectly acceptable.
Later, we'll negotiate. But, I mean, we're talking about children.
Keep the hijab, lose the bra.
Should be taking anything off of children. I can't imagine what her thinking was. Now, in the best case, she's just really weird and was trying in her own strange way to say, oh, you don't have to be ashamed of your hair. I don't know how stupid this person is. But in the worst case scenario, if she was trying to shame this child and trying to go past her religious beliefs, then she really has to be, at the best, retrained. I mean, if that was her motivation, though, she's got to be fired.
Well, talking about motivation, basically, I looked further into the story. And sometimes in cases like this, it's circle the wagons time. Now, the teacher, Tamar Herman, allegedly told the girl, we know the story. Herman also taught at the congregation Ohev Shalom, a conservative synagogue in South Jersey, South Orange, New Jersey. Now, we said, well, what was this woman thinking? Now, this is her side of the story. You know, through this Jewish website that her lawyer was saying, Herman, disputing the account by the girl's lawyer, saying Herman asked the student who was wearing a hooded sweatshirt to take off her hood because it was blocking her eyes. When Herman realized the student was wearing the hood as a hijab, the lawyer said she told the student she did not need to remove it. Obviously, this is going to wind up in court. So,
Here's the problem with her. All the classmates say that. All the classmates disagree with her version of the story. I saw the same thing too about a hoodie. The kids are like, no, that's not how it went down.
Well, look, like I said, it's circle of, you know, I'm pretty much going with what the girl said. You know, like I said, it's circle of wagon time.
This
website, you know, with their lawyer, you know, they're circling the wagons on this. So
this teacher needs to go. Bye-bye. You are this freaking stupid. And we don't have the track record like the secretary where she carried the school on her back. We don't have that track record where you go, all right, you know, and Native Americans, maybe you don't know. We all know what a hijab is. We all know what Muslims wear. And if she's part of the Jewish faith, which I guess she is, she knows that married women wear shadels. They cover their hair. They know that Jewish men wear yarmulkes to cover their head. She knows better. She has got to go. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is, it's egregious to have somebody doing things like this in this day and age. As an educator, you can't plead ignorance.
And once again, to Joe's point, don't touch the children. Stop it. Stop touching the kids.
There was a story that I heard. I think Davin heard it too. Of somebody that had a kid in school that was of the Muslim persuasion around 9/11, and this person had a son who they kept in a dark room on purpose for several hours. And now it's coming to light, and, you know, there were some problems with the kid. You know, obviously it was an emotional thing. Also on the mother, and hopefully they're gonna and the kid's out of school for a while, but I still think there's no statute of limitations on this, and I do believe that they should bring charges against this teacher that did that. On this, do you think this was done on, and the story we're discussing now, do you think this was done out of malice or stupidity?
You know, Joe, I was just thinking that same thing. Either way, I don't know.
Like a calling for her dismissal, was it malice or stupidity?
Joe, I don't know. But either way, if you're this stupid or you're this malicious, I can't have you teaching children. Listen, it's not like I'm asking you to pick up elephant dung. If you want to be a stupid elephant dung picker-upper, I can live with that. I don't need mental acuity for picking up elephant dung. If you're going to be in charge of children, unsupervised, I need a little more common sense. I need a little bit more respect for the students and their parents. You can't teach the kids. You got to go. You need to set an example of this woman. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If it was a stupidity, I would say suspension and a reprimand. If it was malice, you need to go.
I don't, you know, here's the thing. Like, I don't remember anything like this growing up, but I think we're more tolerant society now. Like, I remember, like, boys could not wear hats in my elementary school, and I didn't want to wear a yarmulke. You know, back then I was ashamed to be Jewish, you know, Orthodox Jewish, because I was the only Orthodox one in my school. An Orthodox kid going to public school was not so much. But, like, I can only imagine if I had worn a yarmulke and this principal, who had this thing for boys not wearing hats in school, what would have happened? Now, you know, now a principal will look the other way. Go, all right, you know, it's religious garb, religious freedom, it is what it is. But back then, it wasn't this way. I don't think it was that way.
I think back then, even still, I think back then, being Jewish and having asked to remove your yarmulke, I think that would have been, you know, would have been grounds on firing. That's a religious thing.
Right, but I'm just saying, I don't remember encountering that. But I don't know if they would. I don't know if they would have made me remove it. Either way, you know. Listen, the bottom line: both stories have the same thing in common. Stop touching the kids. Just fucking stop. You know. Listen, and if you think you need to touch a kid, call the principal, call the nurse in, call somebody else. You definitely want adult supervision if you're going to go that far to lay your hands on a child.
Well, if you have that feeling like that in the class, I would call the, you know, if you're that adamant about it, call the parent at night. You know, I know
you're
wearing that headdress. You know, it's in their eyes. I think it might be a hindrance in learning. You know, I'm just saying my suggestion. You know, you could say, you know, even doing that, kind of admirable. Jesus Christ, you're in the class telling her. You know, I mean, you know, if you're gonna have balls, use your head.
You know what? You just got to pick your battles. Even if you think it's in her eyes, you call up the mom and go, listen, the hijab is a little low. Is there a way when she leaves that we could put it a little higher? Or could you...
That's the way to pick your battles. You involve the parent. You
yes.
You don't do shit on your own.
Or I understand it slides down. It slides down during the day. Do you think you could come in one day after school with your daughter to show me how to help her put it on correctly so it doesn't slide over her eyes? I know after she runs around in gym or lunch, it gets low. Is there a way we can do this together? That's what you do if you're not trying to be an asshole about it.
You think it over. It's like, should you assimilate? Well, no, because it's a religious thing, all right? So freedom of religion trumps that. It's great, fine. But then, you know, but... If you do feel, you know, I feel a lot of teachers, and we've seen two stories, a lot of teachers don't use common sense. I think in a school, it's just a different world where I don't know, you know. But in the case like this, in both cases, you call the parent and have a reasonable discussion. I realize it's a religious garment. I see it sitting lower on her eyes. She's been complaining about having trouble seeing and this, that, and the other thing. You know, and you work it out that way, but you don't humiliate the child in the middle of the class.
I will tell you a story. Last week we had a parent teacher conferences at my daughter's school, and apparently, I guess in high school, a lot of parents don't go. According to my wife's friend, who's a teacher in another school, that makes us involve parents because we go. I had no idea. I just thought you showed up. So anyway, my daughter She's taking all mostly honors and AP classes. God bless you, Joe. Honors and AP classes. And she pulls all-nighters, which I never did. And she almost always makes, like, high honor roll. So she's taking honors chemistry. I was not very good in regular chemistry. I sucked a big dick in regular chemistry. You know, it's pretty hard to do. So she got, I think she got an 82 for the marking period. So she got an 82 for the marking period. And she had missed the lab, and she asked the teacher to make up the lab. She didn't want to do that. We made her do that. But the teacher doesn't know that. We didn't want her to take a zero on it, so we let her make up the lab. Okay. So my daughter always gets, like, great comments from the teacher. Pleasure to have in class. Hard worker. So talented. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And she's all those things. Okay. This teacher puts, needs to show better effort. Wait, what? This kid's pulling all-nighters. So that pissed me and the wife off. So how do you know? You don't know what this kid's doing. And the kid's not getting a D. The kid's in honors chemistry getting a B minus. A B, a B.
We're on the phone, right?
Well, no, we did this in person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So now here's the thing with these parent-teacher meetings. You only get 5 minutes. So several times I had to tell the teacher and the wife, go, let's go. We got to keep it moving. Let's go. Keep it moving. We're on a clock here. You know how it is, Joe. You can't blow the light.
Between middle and headline spot,
to this out. You know, I'm flashing a light for the teacher knows they have one more minute. So anyway, you know I'm going to say something to this teacher, because
right.
I go, you said she doesn't show or she could show better effort. I go, she's pulling all nighters. She's studying really hard. I go, why do you think she's not showing good effort? Effort means different things to different teachers. No, it doesn't. Effort means, oh, look up in the dictionary. This teacher stepped in and shit and got caught on it. Don't put that shit if you don't want to hear from me.
Did you respond that way, like she was at table one? I would have table one her ass.
What is table one?
At the club, like when you have somebody sitting at table one and they're an asshole and you lay into them.
Well, Joe,
thank you.
I only had 5 minutes and there was other things to get to, and I was sitting next to my non-nasty cohort. It wasn't like I was sitting next to you, who would have been like, get him. So, but no, like, I didn't follow.
How did she, you know, effort? No, effort means effort.
Yeah. It was the teacher was caught completely unawares, and he had to backpedal from that. And then, you know, we worked on how do we get her grades up. But that really pissed off. She's never gotten a comment like that before. Like, if you're going to make an effort comment with a student who's getting in the B's in an honors class, you better show me where she's, like, fucking lollygagging and not paying attention. Because she pulls all-nighters. Like, she doesn't slip. I didn't even do that in college. I didn't. It's like there were nights.
Did you tell him the kid's sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning going over stuff?
Yeah.
And what did he say?
Well, I mean, he had his effort means different things.
Effort means different things. So what does effort?
What a lame.
Thank God I wasn't there. So effort. You don't think 3 o'clock? Let me ask you a question. You feel 3 o'clock in the morning is effort? I'm not to you, to the teacher. Oh God! Thank God I'm not a parent. He'd fucking lock me up.
Listen. The teachers generally like me because I'm, you know, and they love Skylar, but they generally I'm like cool and everything. But if you're gonna post something like that, we're gonna have a conversation. Like, if you feel there's not enough effort, then we should be having a conversation before it gets to this point. You know, if you have my phone number, you have the email. Say, hey, listen, is she putting in the effort? Because the grades aren't measuring up. What happens is she does really well on the quizzes. She's not doing great on the tests. Okay, so there's something with what she's studying, and we talked about that. You know, my daughter is so meticulous and such a slow worker. She's completely unlike me.
Yeah, and sometimes kids don't get it. Like, my friend's daughter still aced the test, but she doesn't hand in work. And it's like, you don't hand in work. You got to hand in work as well as the test is nice and good, but you got to hand in the work, too.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
You say, well, it's, you know, so sometimes kids don't get the small little, you know, things that you need to do. Yeah, it's great you get an A, but you got to hand the damn thing in. It counts as much as a test.
All right.
But wait, having said that she's not putting in the effort, and then you counter with, well, she's up till 3 o'clock in the morning, what an effort means different things. You better have a really fucking specific reason why you're saying it then. Because 3 o'clock in the morning, you're putting in effort. What specific effort is she not putting in then?
You know, he might have been,
I would be really mad.
In the teacher's defense, he's not, you know, parked in front of the house with binoculars seeing her study at 3 in the morning. You know,
I know that, but...
It's doing the grade, and she goes, well, she's not putting in the effort. I mean, at least
Joe.
She's up till 3 in the morning.
Joe, this is honors chemistry, freshman year, first marking period, after the kids have been home for a year. I mean, seriously. But whatever.
Yeah.
I handled shit.
Specific reference for that, yeah, buddy.
I handled shit. Again, I only had 5 minutes, and there was other points to get to. So I couldn't sink my fangs in the way Joe might like me to. But I made my point.
Now I got to ask you, comic to comic, when did you go into him? Did you go into 2 minutes because you knew you had another 3 to finish up?
No. Pretty quickly, maybe my first or second comment. You know, after the howdy you do's and everything. I go, yeah. So you said such and such. You know, she's up all night. Why would you say something like that? I don't think it's an effort thing. Well, you know, effort means different things to different students. No, it doesn't. To different teachers. No, it doesn't. We're all working from the same English language. Stop it. You got caught in it, and now you're backpedaling. If you're going to say it, own it, motherfucker. Own it.
Yep.
Be like Alex Jones. You know you're full of shit, but keep on spouting it. That's what you got to do. All right.
He got a round of applause from the other tables and sold some merch. Good for you.
All right. So, speaking with education and nonsense, you know, we thought we were done with the Republicans and Sesame Street and that blood war, but wait, there's more. Matt Schlapp, the president of the Conservative Political Action Committee, by the way, the Republicans all flock to this. You know, Ted Cruz goes down there, Donald Trump, they all flock to this. All the conservatives flock to this shit of fucking weirdos and misfits. So this is actually a big deal, this conservative political, the CPAC thing. Has drawn criticism from Asian Americans and others across social media this week after he called for Sesame Street to be funded for introducing its first Asian American puppet. So the Democrats don't want to, but they're accused of defunding the police, and now the Republicans are accused of defunding the street. That's where we are. Everybody's getting defunded these days. That's what we're doing. Schlapp, a conservative lobbyist and a hack, tweeted a news story about the coming debut of Korean-American character Ji Young. The Muppet has been praised for letting Asian-American children see a character like themselves on screen, but Schlapp slammed the host network, PBS, which receives both government and private sector funding. What race is Ernie and Bert? Schlapp tweeted Monday. You're insane, PBS, and we should stop funding you. And PBS said, we're the insane ones? You're tweeting about puppets, you moron.
Really? And Sesame Street's been needing a nail salon for decades. Now we got one.
Hey, mind your own act for jokes, mister. Mind your own act for jokes.
Wow.
You know what? If we need a joke about the fat Muppet on the back of the school bus falling to the back, we'll go to you. All right? Fucking mind your own act, stupid.
That's hysterical.
Schlapp doubled down Thursday on Fox and Friends First, claiming PBS and Sesame Street are trying to bring race into Ernie and Bert. I grew up watching, and it wasn't ever about race. It was about learning lessons and learning to read and learning tolerance, Schlapp said unironically. And they want to inject race. He also went on to jab the Muppets' take on gender, because he wasn't finished. He will fight the wars we need. A precursor to the war on Christmas. This is the man we need. And by the way, this whole question about gender into everything, one of the Muppet characters had a son, and the son wanted to be a daughter, and they just won't stop with their push for woke politics, Schlapp said. The Muppets have alluded to non-binary characters in the past, but it was unclear which episode Schlapp was referring to. In an episode of Muppet Babies, the popular Muppet Gonzo, known for a love of stunt performance, dons a gown for Miss Piggy's ball, making their debut as Gonzo-rella. The outrage! Gonzo, every kid is looking at that going, it's silly, it's funny, it's Gonzo. He's not making a statement about his gender, you fucking dolt. In an email to NBC News, Schlapp did not deviate from his position. Like I said, own the stupidity. Double down. Wear it like a Gonzarella dress. He also took shots at National Public Radio, a publicly funded nonprofit media outlet, accusing the organization as well as PBS of wanting to be in arms in the socialist movement. Yes. Yes. Paid for by the Helena Rubinstein Foundation. Not you. Not the government. The Helena Rubinstein Foundation. Don't you pay attention. It comes right after the letter Q. Sesame Street needs to go back to the time when a show was devoted to a letter in the alphabet and not the latest woke fad, he wrote. We all love Bert and Ernie without the foggiest idea of the racial demographic they may have represented. After all, Ernie is orange, so he's a Trumpster. The taxpayer... The taxpayers deserve a big rebate if PBS and NPR want to be in arms in the socialist movement. They need to pay their own way. A spokesperson for Sesame Street did not immediately respond to a request for comment because he said we're dealing with serious things like snack time. Ji Young.
We both know Bert and Ernie are Jews. I mean, come on.
Are what?
Are Jews. You know.
Well, okay. Bert and Ernie are Jews?
All right, Joe. Wow,
you
okay.
You know a Bert and Ernie that are not Jews? Come on.
Ernie Ladd, the football player.
I don't know.
I just named one, Ernie Ladd. Ji Young, an avid electric guitar player and skateboarder, will make her first appearance as part of a special titled See Us Coming Together. Not to be confused with See You Next Tuesday on Thanksgiving Day. Alan Marocchia, who plays the owner of Hooper's store on the show, said that little like many Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, she will straddle two cultures. She's a musician. She plays electric guitar. She's a girl of the very modern American fabric. Speaking of fabric, that's what she's made of. She recognizes... She recognizes the culture through her relatives, her grandmother, through her mother, and the arm that's up her ass to make her move. She's a puppet, stupid, and through the food she eats and loves. The show will also delve into other real and yet difficult issues relating to Ji Young's identity, including anti-Asian racism. During the special, another child tells her to go home in an off-screen incident. Friends and adults come together and help her understand that she's exactly where she belongs, according to a statement about the episode. It's necessary for the next generation of kids to understand these issues, because they're real issues and they're issues that I don't see going away in the foreseeable future, Marocchia said. Schlapp's comments came on the heels of criticism from Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, who accused Sesame Street of spreading government propaganda this month after the character Big Bird spoke about getting vaccinated against COVID-19. On Thursday, the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, posted two tweets that told Elmo, Big Bird, Bert, and Ernie in no uncertain terms that they would not be welcome at next year's CPAC conference. So I put a poll up.
We were going to go. They gotta see if they can get a refund on the airline ticket and see if they can cancel in time. This basically was obviously fucking nonsense. I mean, this is harmless. But you do have this is the radical fringe of the Republican Party.
It's not the radical fringe. Ted Cruz is the radical fringe? This is who they are, Joe. This is who... I know. Your party has moved away from you, my friend. This is who your party is. Well, this is the same party where 13 Republican congressmen voted to do a bipartisan infrastructure bill. They want them off committees now. Anyway, I did a poll. Matt Schlapp, the president of the Conservative Political Action Committee, is angry because Sesame Street introduced an Asian American Muppet. Does an Asian American Muppet bother you? 33% said yes. 67% said no.
Of course, because I mean, how could an Asian American Muppet upset? I mean, what is? And if you, and it's like, well, it's teaching the wrong things. Like what? You know, this is the whole thing. I don't want what you people are teaching my kid. Like what? Can anybody answer that?
Well,
what?
That Asian Americans exist, and that scares you?
Here's what's here's one of the many things that's stupid about Matt Schlapp, and I have other things that I will get into. But he's like, I remember when they taught tolerance. Well, isn't that what they're doing with this character, Ji Young? They're teaching yes. tolerance, you fucking moron. What is wrong with you? But this is what it is. It's all about trolls. It's all about Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump. Their trolls come to life. And this is what they do, and they get fundraising off this shit. They're not serious people. So you have the Democrats, whether you like them or you don't like them, they're a serious party. They're doing things. And then you have nothing. There's no alternative anymore. There's no legitimate alternative party anymore. Because the Republican Party's been taken over by this shit. It used to be the fringe. 10, 15, 20 years ago, this shit was the fringe. Now they fundraise off this stuff. Now they go on Fox and Friends.
You also have the fringe on the left that wants to defund the police. They want to empty the prisons and so on. So
Joe, whether you think those are bad policies or not, and I don't want to have that conversation, they're not fighting with inanimate objects.
but it's just
No, it's not the same. We can have the conversation about bad policy. It's
that you have that far fringe that's putting favor to that contingent.
Joe, we could debate whether the policies are far left or center left or what. Again, they're not fighting with puppets. They're not fighting with puppets. There's no coming back with fighting with puppets.
But both are far-fetched ideas. I'm not going to sit here and say that being upset about an Asian puppet makes common sense. It's fucking crazy. You know, I'm not defending either side, either radical fringe side. It's just the fact that these people are pandering to that radical side.
Matt Schlapp,
I feel that Ted Cruz was not happy that Sesame Street is taking a side on to get vaccinated. It should be a decision parents make, maybe not the kids. But you can't go through it by damning Big Bird over it.
Matt Schlapp is in the position. Matt Schlapp is actually arguing against tolerance. That is, he is actually arguing about against children being tolerant. That is the position he has drawn. So here's the thing.
My question to Matt Schlapp, like I said it before, well, we're upset about. You're upset about what? You're upset about what? That you're introducing a character that's Asian, that is assimilating into an American culture, that is, you know, that from a culture that's very hardworking and earn their keep here in this country, and you're upset about that. It's fucking stupid. And what contingent of people are going, yeah, harumph, harumph. It's stupid. That you're putting, for what reason?
All right. Well, here's some more. He said he watched Sesame Street. I actually watched Sesame Street. I think he's older than me, although I don't know. He is a mental midget. There, I said that word again. But I do remember, growing up, there was a black Muppet. There was an African-American Muppet. And I actually did some research, and I was correct. He was introduced in 1970, and his name was Roosevelt Franklin. I remember
That's
this Muppet.
Right. I remember him.
So what he's talking about, there was never race. So let me read you some background on Roosevelt Franklin. Because remember, Matt Schlapp's like, there's never been race on Sesame Street. No, you're a moron. So here.
I like the way you say, well, he's stating fact, and he's somebody that probably makes sense. I got to do my research and debate him.
No, because I need to point this out. Listen, people, no, because there's a point to this. People need to understand. Here's my point, and then I'm going to tell you about Roosevelt Franklin. People listen to these motherfuckers spout their shit like it's true. He went on Fox and Friends and said they never had race before. Nobody corrected him. Remember when I told you several years ago they had Mike Huckabee ranting against the NFL and one of their journalists, I think it was Martha McCollum, and Huckabee was saying stuff that just wasn't true, and she didn't correct him. So this is my point. There's a chance to correct him to go, well, actually, Matt, They did have an African American. They did have an African American puppet. What do you say about? There's the opportunity to actually be a news organization, but they're not about that. They're not. They are about propaganda and getting people angry. So here, I know you need to come.
There might be also ratings too. Are you going to sit in front of Penn Station and tell the nut yelling shit that he's wrong on stuff?
I'm not going to give the nut a microphone. I'm not going to give the nut a microphone, but that's all Fox does. So let me tell you about Roosevelt Franklin. He was created and originally voiced by Sesame Street actor Matt Robinson, who felt the show lacked content that would draw in black kids. He told Ebony Magazine in a 1970 interview that kids need more realism in black-oriented problems, a concern echoed by others. But that same year, journalist James Haskins questioned whether the show, despite its efforts, was reaching black children. He'd answer his question in a follow-up in 1974. It is clear that the group that has benefited most from Sesame Street is the children of the white middle class. I think that's pretty fair. Roosevelt quickly became a regular on the show, and in 1971 became the first Sesame Street character to have his own album, the era-appropriate collection of kid-friendly soul funk, My Name is Roosevelt Franklin. It was very clear with the songs like The Skin I'm In and segments on the geographic diversity and resources of Africa that Roosevelt was a Muppet with a message. Other black
Right, and you forgot about the B-side of that album. Back off, white motherfucker.
My mistake. See, Joe's fact-checking me. Joe's better than Fox and Fox News. Other black Sesame Street staffers felt he was too stereotypical, with one of the show's advisors noting, "I like the idea of black Muppets, but not this one-dimensional use of black Muppets." Robinson pushed back, advocating for the use of black English as a way to meet kids where they were. A 1975 Freedom Ways article called out Roosevelt and his segments as chaos of darky, accents, and racist stereotypes. Robinson left the show after the third season, leaving the character to be voiced by white puppeteer Jerry Nelson. The character stopped appearing in 1977. Now, also, earlier this year, So, say Matt Schlapp doesn't know about 1970 to 1977 Muppets. Earlier this year, in March, Sesame Street introduced two black characters, Elijah and Wesley Walker. So they did this shit earlier in the year, and Matt Schlapp had nothing to say.
But
as,
you know what I don't understand, I'm looking at this guy, he probably is around my age, maybe a year younger. And Pip, maybe you attest to this. When we were kids and watching Sesame Street, Zoom, during that period, 74, 75, it was when the civil rights movement was starting to dig in, and there was a lot more inclusion, and I would see it on Sesame Street, you used to see it on Zoom, those shows on PBS. So for him to turn around and go, well, this is starting to be, no, this is going almost 50 years ago.
Well, Joe, it's the same thing. Joe, it's the same thing with the vaccination and Big Bird. In 1972, Big Bird was talking about getting vaccinated. This isn't new.
Well, like I said, basically the vaccination. I mean, I brought up the stats then. There was on those vaccines, there was at least 5 years or more of testing. Where on this vaccine, there is not. And as a parent, I'll take the vaccine. I got to put a roof over my head. My kid, I'll decide on my kid. So that's one way you could be a take on that. And I think that he feels that Sesame Street is overstepping their bounds, but you're yelling at Big Bird, for Christ's sake. You're ruining your fucking narrative.
So I was talking to another Republican who could not believe, I guess I was breaking the news to him that this thing was real, and he couldn't believe this shit. So I wonder how this plays politically. To a lot of their base, I think this is perfect, because all they're doing is fighting culture wars. They're making shit up, whether it's Mr. Potato Head or this shit, because they have no policy. But I wonder if there's a segment of Republicans that go, you know what? I just got to sit this shit out, because I'm not going to vote for the liberals. I'm not going to vote for the Democrats. But I can't vote for this party because they're not serious. I wonder if there's a fairly large segment of conservatives that go, this is too much.
I think there is a large contingent of conservatives and Republicans that look at this and go, this is fucking nonsense. I'm one of them. I think this is a radical fringe, and these people, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Schlapp, are pandering to that sort of far-right conservative
But that's where you and I are having the disconnect. It's no longer the far right. It's the loudest voices. It's the biggest fundraisers. It's who the moderate, quote unquote, most of the moderate Republicans caved into. It's whose asses they're trying to kick. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, they're like the two biggest fundraisers and shit. And they're all trying to be Donald Trump. Donald Trump was always a troll. He used to be a liberal troll, then he was a conservative troll. He was always a fucking troll. And that's what they're doing. But now they're not trying to be serious politicians. They don't want to get any shit done.
Of course they're not, because basically what politics is now is a party that is trying to get the most votes and a media that's trying to get the most listeners, the most viewers. And that's what it is, and that's why you have this. I pray to God that people start looking at policy over pandering, that they're doing. But basically what it is politicians that all they care about is getting the most votes, and media that wants to get the most viewers or listeners. And that's where we are now. That's where we are now.
It's pathetic. I'm really sick of listening to all politicians that are talking about nonsense rather than dealing with the real issues that we have.
Everything is a side now. Whose side are you on? Everything is a side now, and it's starting to, and I don't, with media and social media and ratings and poll numbers, and this, I don't really see an end to this.
Well,
to your point, Davin.
What's that?
There's a very big disconnect and parties have changed. And I think it's due to the media
it's what I always say. It's easy to blame the media, the politicians. This is us. We are stupid. Stupidity is praised instead of ridiculed. Education and book learning is looked down upon. Being loud or typing in all caps, or being the loudest voice in the room and being ignorant in our culture and our society is taking over intelligence.
I think why is because basically everybody is very busy. Life now is fast-paced. You get your information so quickly, and everybody only has enough time. I mean, a majority of people only have enough time just to get whatever sound bites they can get from whatever they're doing. I mean, we look at it more in depth because the show has, we do political stuff and political stories and stuff like that. So we do our research. We're more into politics than maybe the regular person is. But you have people that just get whatever they hear in the radio, whatever they see in the internet, and they go, all right, well, I'll roll with this. Instead of really researching and doing background stuff on that. Well, I guess, but you get to the point where the whole thing with Shig Bird is that you could look at it and go, I think that Sesame Street is overstepping their bounds. I'll make my decision. I don't need them trying to tell my kid to get it. But now you got him, this guy Slap, over this Asian American puppet. Who gives a shit? And nobody, I don't see anybody looking at him, or maybe even Fox News will point at Fox News saying, what's the problem here? Why do you have a problem?
No, they eat it up. All right, let's continue with the nonsense. Let's continue with the nonsense, because you know what? I had to get somebody who was on the street to comment about this. I couldn't get Big Bird. The last time we had him up, it was Elmo. That was many years ago when he was exposing himself in Times Square. So the street was not making Muppets available to this fine show. But we were able to get Cookie Monster. So I will play that interview for you now.
All right, I'm very excited for this interview. It's been a long time since we had a Muppet on the show. I think the last Muppet we had on the show was Elmo, and I believe at the time Elmo was exposing himself in the middle of New York, and Elmo was gracious enough to come on the show, but it's been a long time since the people of Sesame Street have given us access to another Muppet, if you will. But Sesame Street's been in the news. Big Bird in particular was attacked by Ted Cruz, and we have one of the longest running castmates of Big Bird with us. We have Cookie Monster. Hi, Cookie Monster. How are you?
Me good. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you. Do I call you Mr. Cookie, Mr. Monster, Cookie Monster? What do you want to be called?
Call me Cookie or CM.
I guess the first question is, Big Bird tweeted out that he got the COVID-19 vaccine and that his wing was a little sore. Cookie, can you tell us how Big Bird is feeling?
Big Bird despondent because other people on Sesame Street say mean things, and all Big Bird wants is to be health conscious.
Getting vaccinated is controversial on Sesame Street.
Oscar the Grouch means he does not like vaccine. He doesn't like Cookie either. Blah, 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 blah.
Cookie, are you vaccinated?
Cookie Monster gets vaccine because vaccine come with free cookie.
I did not know that. Well, cookies cause obesity. Not that you're obese, Cookie Monster. You look great. But it is true that obese people have more
adverse reactions when infected with COVID-19. Are you worried, Cookie, that all your cookie eating will lead to obesity and cause a worse reaction should you get COVID?
Cookie Monster does not care about caloric binge. Cookie Monster only care about cookie.
Okay. All right, I understand. So, Senator Ted Cruz called Big Bird's tweet about getting vaccinated government propaganda. What do you think about Senator Cruz's statement?
Only propaganda, Cookie Monsters, is don't eat too many cookies because you become obese, then no more cookies.
That makes more sense than anything Ted Cruz has said. So, all right, that's good. Now, I know one of the men...
Cookie Monster used to write Ted Cruz speeches.
Really? Well,
Monster was young, needed money.
So you'll do anything for money and cookies?
Anything for money and cookies.
Oddly enough, I think Ted Cruz does the same thing for money and cookies. Anything. I know one of the many life lessons Sesame Street teaches is loyalty and being a good friend. Ted Cruz allowed President Trump to call his wife ugly and insinuate his father helped kill President John F. Kennedy. If you had little Teddy Cruz on the street, how would you help him be a better friend to his wife and father?
First thing Cookie Monster would do is tell Ted Cruz, turn yourself in. Zodiac Killer has to go down some point.
Wait a minute. Is this a scoop here? Are you saying that Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer?
Cookie Monster, not accused. Cookie Monster, just say, interesting theory from meme Cookie Monster sees on the Facebook.
In light of that kerfuffle with Ted Cruz and other right-wing personalities, the Conservative Political Action Conference said Sesame Street was not invited to their conference. How is everyone on the street handling this news?
Well, Sesame Street want to be taken seriously as a media conglomerate, but Big Bird say too many controversial things, and now Oscar can't go home for Thanksgiving, and I think Elmo turning trick somewhere.
And this is all Big Bird's fault.
All Big Bird's fault. No more cookies, Big Bird's fault.
You know what? In these woke days, I don't know if it's proper for you to have a black and white cookie, so I'd probably stay away from that Cookie Monster.
Oh, Cookie Monster, not even think about racism of cookie.
No, Cookie Monster loves all cookies.
Cookie Monster loves all cookies. Every color, every type of chocolate.
Okay. All right, this is going to be a little controversial here. But since he loves all cookies, I guess we're going to have to bring up fortune cookies here because CPAC organizer Matt Schlapp furthered the right wing's feud with the Muppets by calling the street's new Muppet, an Asian American Muppet, Ji Young, insane, and saying that that Sesame Street should be defunded. How is Ji Young, the Asian American Muppet, handling this attack from Matt Schlapp, the white Republican puppet?
Well, everyone puppet on Sesame Street. And everyone puppet at CPAC.
Real? Wow.
It is very hard to not be racist when you talk about Asian Muppet, because Asian Muppet are groundbreaking. New. Never been Asian Muppet before. You know what Asian Muppet eat?
No.
Fortune Cookie Monster. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, wow. Wow, all right. So although I think Ji Young is Korean, so I might have been mistaken when I said about the fortune cookie. But that's not your fault, Cookie Monster. That's my fault. You just see cookies. You don't see ethnicities.
Me not guilty of bias. Me just love cookies.
I think that's something we could all get behind. So Matt Schlapp said, and I quote, "I grew up watching, and it wasn't ever about race. It was about learning lessons and learning to read and learning tolerance. And they want to inject race." I don't know, Cookie. For me, I think part of tolerance is being exposed to other people's races and getting along with them and seeing that they're not much different than you. But maybe I'm wrong. Does Matt Schlapp have a point? Has Sesame Street gone too far?
Sesame Street always about inclusion. Inclusion, different puppet, different cookie, all together. One neighborhood everyone loves without looking at race.
It sounds like a beautiful place. But, you know, we don't all get to live at Sesame Street. And, you know, Matt Schlapp went on Fox and Friends and continued, you know, spouting these awful things about Sesame Street. And it got pretty hot, so I got to ask, Cookie, in a rumble, who wins? Sesame Street and Friends or Fox and Friends?
Sesame Street and Friends has felt to rub against the ropes and come back for more. Fox and Friends get broken like stale cookie.
Fox, so you would break them like a stale cookie?
Break like stale cookie.
Yeah. Would you if they tasted like stale cookies, would you eat them?
If it tastes like stale cookie, Cookie Monster still eat.
Well, but you know that's
maybe
good.
Cookie Monster purge out stale cookie later.
Okay.
Watching Cookie Monster figure.
Okay. Sesame Street for the longest time aired on PBS, and the older shows still do air on PBS. Schlapp called PBS socialist. Is it true that Sesame Street and PBS are in cahoots to spread socialism to our 1 to 6 year olds in a plot to destroy America? Is that what you're doing, Cookie? Are you plotting to destroy America?
No, Cookie Monster plotting to take over Nabisco. Other people on Sesame Street plotting to take over America.
Oh, so Ted Cruz and Matt Schlapp are onto something. There is a plan afoot to take over America.
One street of puppets at a time. We take over America, and we come for cookies.
All right, so if it's one street at a time, you have Sesame Street. Is Avenue Q next?
Avenue Q already have under our control.
So new episodes of Sesame Street now air on HBO, which is not constrained by the rules and guidelines of PBS. And judging from this conversation, I might already have the answer. But are we going to be seeing some from Sesame Street some more adult storylines?
We're already working on love triangle between Cookie Monster, Big Bird, and no character, girl puppet. But she does not like cookies.
She doesn't. What's her name?
Darla.
Darla. See,
Darla, the non-cookie eater.
See, I feel like if her name was Cookie Puss, you'd be more inclined to eat her.
Ooh, Cookie Puss. The famous porn star of Sesame Street.
Really? I was unaware of this. Wow, the unseen footage. I was unaware that Sesame Street had a famous porn star.
She only on 2 episodes before network find out about her past. I was very sad. We were going to eat cookies.
You were. I bet you would have caused her great frosting and glaze.
We would have made sweet cookie together.
Well, I'm sorry to hear her gone, and we haven't heard from her since. I thought maybe she'd be living with Oscar the Grouch, but who knows?
Maybe she under Oscar Grouch's garbage can. Cookie Monster not accuse him of killing anyone.
You're not accusing. You're just throwing that out there.
Cookie Monster just hears things.
I understand. Well, Cookie Monster has his ear to the street. I've always said that. So it sounds like we're going to be seeing some hot Muppet on Muppet action soon.
There will be so much friction from felt on felt crime. We might even see sparks fly.
Other than Bert and Ernie, because, I mean, there's always been rumors about them.
Bert and Ernie, they do what they do behind closed doors. Cookie Monster doesn't judge.
Aw, Cookie Monster is a woke monster. We like Cookie Monster. So,
Cookie Monster wants everyone to be happy. That is all. Cookie Monster just wants to eat cookie. That is all. Simple monster.
He is a simple monster. He's so simple, I think he's ready to run for a Senate or Congress.
Cookie Monster going to start a small local government first.
That's a good idea. Start small,
then. Then become Chief Cookie Baker.
Oh. But, okay. All right. Well.
That is next step under Vice President. Chief Cookie Baker.
Is that so?
That is how government works on Sesame Street.
I was unaware of that. Wow. All right. Well, it's good to talk to somebody so powerful. I had no idea. Cookie, this has been a tremendous conversation. Very enlightening. I'm thrilled to talk to such a dignified monster. I know we have something in common, you and I, Cookie Monster, besides the love of cookies. I know you're a huge stand-up comedy fan. Who's your favorite stand-up comedian?
Oh, Cookie Monster, big fan of the shiny-headed wonder, Dave Sitzik.
I'm a fan as well. I am a fan. He's a very talented young up-and-comer. Do you know where he'll be appearing, where our audience can see him?
He'll be December 8th at Andiamo in Haworth, where they have the best cookies.
They do have good cookies.
And December 10th, he will be characters in Slow Truck eating more cookies.
Okay, so Andiamo on December 8th, Wednesday, December 8th, and Friday, December, that's in Haworth, New Jersey, and December 10th at Characters in Sloatsburg, New York, is where Dave Sitzik will be. Cookie, I can't thank you enough. I wish you nothing but happiness and cookies, and have a great evening, sir.
Cookie is flattered. Thank you for taking the time for me to tell you about cookies.
Okay. There you have it, boys and girls. Cookie Monster. We learned
that
a lot.
That was a great get.
That was a great get. And Dave Sitzik is a great comedian. So Cookie Monster is really wise to like Dave Sitzik. And Dave will be with me at Andiamo on December 8th. But that was good. We got a different perspective. You know, we all have our perspective, but we're not in the mean Sesame Streets. We don't know what's really going down. And honestly, if you think about it, doesn't Cookie Monster make more sense than Match Slap? I would say yes.
I would always have said yes.
All right. To continue with the nonsense, because why wouldn't we? A new edition of Fart Stories, the presidential version.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Fart Stories.
U.S. President Joe Biden reportedly broke wind in front of the Duchess of Cornwall, Camilla Parker Bowles. Well, you know what, Camilla Parker Bowles, in his defense, if this is true, her name is Bowles. It seems like the right place. Anyway. At the COP26 climate summit in Glasgow last week, and she couldn't stop talking about it thereafter. Shut up, you yappy broad. The Mail quoted an informed source as saying that Biden's flatulence was long, loud, and impossible to ignore. And why would you ignore presidential gas? The incident, it was long, loud, and impossible to ignore, it said, adding that Camilla hasn't stopped talking about it. Well, in her defense, she's sick of Prince...
Would you?
Yes, I would. I'm not a yappy know-it-all. Shut up, stupid. The incident allegedly occurred when the two were making polite small talk at the summit. Biden met Camilla at a reception at the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery, where Prince Charles, the Duke, and Duchess of Cambridge, and UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson were also present. Oddly enough, Johnson's hair was actually neat for a change until Biden passed gas, and then his hair got all messy. This is not the first time of late that the 78-year-old U.S. president has been shamed and mocked on social media for perfectly natural bodily functions. Only some time ago, Poopy Pants Biden trended on Twitter. Of course it did, because we're a serious country. Poopy Pants trended on Twitter after rumor mills alleged that he had a bathroom accident during his meeting with Pope Francis in Rome. And Joe has a joke about that, because of course he does. The new reported incident added fuel to the old rumors, with many on Twitter saying that the older incident was true. Biden, the only the second Catholic president in U.S. history, met Pope Francis on October 29th. Biden was in Rome to attend the G20 summit, which was from October 30th to the 31st. He and his wife, First Lady Jill Biden, were greeted by Monsignor Leonardo Sapienza, who runs the papal household, as well as gentlemen of His Holiness. After the POTUS official visit to the Vatican, word got out that the meeting was unprecedentedly long because he had a, quote, bathroom incident. The tweet that set off the rumor mills was by Amy Tarkanian, former Nevada Republican Party chairwoman and wife of Republican attorney Danny Tarkanian. The word around Rome is that Biden's meeting with the Pope was unusually long because Biden had a bit of a bathroom incident and the Vatican, and it had to be addressed prior to him leaving, she wrote. Okay. All right. As far as
that... see the word around Rome, they're going by the Colosseum, you hear the president, they shit his pants. By the Trevi Fountain, he's the president, he shit the fence.
Yeah, I know. It's like I'm standing around in plazas by the fountains talking about this.
I am inclined to not believe the poop story just because who the source is. How the hell would she know? A Republican operative from Nevada? How would she know? So I kind of think it's, for lack of a better word, it's full of crap. But anyway. So there we are. Do I believe he farted in Parker's presence? Listen, you're traveling, you're eating different foods, your tum-tum's not right. It's possible. I mean, it's possible when you sometimes they sneak out. I'm not gonna lie, they sneak out at opportune times.
Yeah, but still, you gotta try to hold it in. I mean, you fried the Duchess of Cornwall's nostril hairs off with your fart.
Well, Joe, it sounds like he realized that this was not going to be held back anymore, and he just kind of owned it. You know, he just kind of let it rip. I guess he figured out there was no way of converting this one into a silent one.
I'll be frank with you. The way the English people feel about the Duchess of Cornwall, he should be knighted.
That's true. Listen, this is a woman.
Yeah, she's hated, yeah. The queen... I would have loved to see the look in the queen's face when she heard that. I think we should start him.
You know, this is a woman who's... Prince Charming used to talk about how he wishes that he was one of her tampons because he wanted to be with her all the time.
Wait, what? Wait, what? What?
You didn't know this?
No, why would I?
It's just one of the things that...
You know why I wouldn't, Pip? No, Pip, here's why I wouldn't. Because I'm a 47-year-old heterosexual American male. That's why I wouldn't know that.
Yes, this is one of the things... during this whole period of time when somebody...
Oh, very good, Joe. Very good.
Somebody had bugged their phones or something. I don't remember exactly how it was found out, but it was absolutely heard or read that Prince Charles, when he was still with Diana and couldn't be with Camilla, had told her that he wished that he was one of her tampons so that he could be with her all the time. And this was, yeah, that's romantic as hell. So, I mean, this is what passes for, you know, romantic conversation with this woman. I don't want to hear about a fart blowing up her skirts. You know what? This is nothing in her world.
You know, here's the thing. If it did happen, she needs to shut the fuck up. She really...
Really?
I mean, you can't go yapping about that stuff. I mean, I'm more likely to believe that this happened than the poop story happened. I'm more likely to believe this.
She's one of the most hated people in England. You think, you know, this is going to be a deal killer?
I guess.
Yeah, really?
No.
Yeah, no. So what? So he farted. Own it. So what? You know what? Bush Sr. threw up in the Japanese emperor's lap at a conference. At least this didn't leave a stain. Yeah, well, except on him.
A big long fart is much funnier.
Well,
much funnier.
I will recount the story of one of my most mortifying farts. So.
Oh. Do I know this one?
What?
It is.
No, no. Oh, I forgot about that. No, this is not that fart. This is a different fart.
Buffet fart is one of my favorite stories.
There was another fart in the series. All right.
Fart. Joe, there's many farts in the series.
Let's hear it.
So,
I mean, the story.
Funny. Years ago, we were moving my sister-in-law into her house in Massachusetts. So it was me, my wife, her parents, my sister-in-law. We're moving everything in. I'm sitting on the floor across the room. It's a hardwood floor.
You can see where this is going.
Yes, no, we're good. A long, loud one, presidential, if you will.
A welcoming trumpeting.
Did you buckle the floor?
Snuck out. Snuck out from hole to wood. The only thing in between was underwear and jeans. And the wood only amplified. And it was a long and musical fart. So now, nobody says anything. But my wife, my wife locks eyes with me. She knows what I've done. And I know that she knows what I've done. So I put my finger to my lips and I just shook my leg. Don't you... And she was not a Camilla Bowles Parker. She kept her yap shut, because that's what you do. You don't squeal when you have a mortifying fart like that.
Please leave it alone. You pretend it did not happen.
You know what was weird, though? Like, nobody else looked in my direction. Everybody had to hear it. I mean, there was no avoiding it. It was the elephant in my ass.
I was out. It was the trumpeting.
It was the trumpeting.
I dated this girl years ago. We were over at a parent's house having dinner, and she let out this fart and then had to run to the bathroom. And I'm like, and she was so always prim and proper. I go, till my dying day, I will never forget that. So I'll have Alzheimer's. I won't know who I am or who the hell you are, but I'll remember that day.
You know, I mean, listen, I mean, sometimes you can convert a loud one into a silent one and ease it out of the buttocks, but sometimes it won't be denied. Sometimes it just...
It won't be denied. My father was a serial farter. He just didn't care. He would let him loose in the house, and he would say, did you hear a wildebeest outside?
You know what? Why shouldn't he? He paid the mortgage. It's his house. Fart away, kind sir. Fart away. You've earned that right.
Yes. He earned his fartage.
Sure. He was a mailman. He's probably holding it in while he's delivering mail. You know, you don't want to be delivering mail, then the neighbor comes out, you greet him with like that, a waft of brown cloud. You can't do that.
No, you can't. You can't leave that on somebody's doorstep for them to open the door
no,
and walk in.
No! A government worker can't crop dust the citizens. No!
We're not allowed to do that.
I was at a day program one time, and me and the assistant manager were walking through the warehouse, and this guy cut this massive fart. We walked into this fart cloud. I almost dropped to the floor. Holy cow. I mean, it was just like waiting, like, ah, you know?
I once, many years ago, when I worked in New York, I was in an office that I was at the reception desk, and there were two offices that went off behind me down a hallway. And I thought I was all alone because it was lunchtime. There was nobody around. It was quiet in the office. So all of a sudden, I had to fart. And I'm like, well, I can't leave my desk because what if the phone rings? There's nobody around to get it for me. So I was like, oh, all right, well, I'll let one go. I mean, you know, I tried to quietly squeak it out. I'm like, what else can I do? Well, just then, the guy that was in the office behind me walks out, stands right next to me and tells me something, and I see his face change into this look of disgust.
Because he walked into the cloud.
He walked right into it, and I'm like, I want to die right this moment.
It smells like somebody did. Now.
My buddy Alice can throw his fart. We'd be riding in the truck, and he put his hand under his vent, and then throw it.
He's a superhero for this.
He's like a fart ventriloquist.
Brilliant engineer, phenomenal bass player, good flamenco guitar player, and a masterful fart thrower.
He's the hero we need for these times. Well, I mean, there's nothing better than seeing the reaction of somebody walking into your fart if you happen to be present.
Oh, God, when they hit that fart cloud, oh, God. It's,
No, I'll remember Jeffrey's face for the rest of my life when he started to, like, you could see the green cloud had made it up his nostrils, and he started to make this face like, what the hell? And, and there's no one else around. There's no one else to blame it on. I can't say it's the dog. It's all me. I wanted to die.
You know what I call that? You know what we call that? We call it a little something for the people. Something for the people.
When you're married, I'd walk out of the bathroom and Joanna go, it stinks in there. I go, cut your shit.
What do you think I do in there?
No mystery went unsolved in the Curry household, did it?
Right.
Joe had all the answers.
No mystery went unsolved.
All right. All right, let's take our last break. We'll regather ourselves. We'll fart off air. Everybody can run around the house and fart away, leading like a little horn section.
Hold on a second. I think we need something for this.
Well, I didn't want to say. It's funny. You hold up the air freshener a little while ago. It doesn't often happen during this show, but one of the cats dropped a deuce. And I got to tell you, it was hard to focus.
I know it's that. Yeah, I remember sitting there. Mallory would stop by and drop a deuce. Yeah, and your nostril hairs would fringe up. Yeah.
It doesn't often happen on this show, but I'm like, oh, this is terrible and I can't run away. I have to do the show.
Well, that's why I have that in here, because the cat boxes are in this room, too. Every once in a while I'm doing the show or I'm just, you know, working on something on my computer, Monster or Sweet Pea will come in and, like, torch the place.
Well, I could tell you kids that at the new house, the cat litter will not be in my studio. So that is... What, Joe? The cat litter, we will have two cat litter boxes. One will be in, like, the laundry pantry area on the main floor. And the other will be in my wife's office/guest room upstairs. So I will no longer be soiled by cat turds.
It'll just be us.
Yeah, it's just you. Moving day can't come soon enough. All right. On the break. Wow. That was a serious conversation. On the break, new music from Chris Wenner with Naked and Blind and Costa D and the Fortune Tellers with Torn of Flight. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. We'll come back. We'll do some scamming scammers. Come back.